Hey everybody, welcome to the Liberty Squadron podcast this week. My name is Andrew Lewinsky. I'm joined today with Marshall Staggs.
Hey everybody.
And Jonathan Kevin Lee.
Hello.
Alright guys, I know you said we weren't going to record this week, but we've had a ton of news drop and we wanted to get some things out of the way before it became stale news. We've had a store championship, we've had points drop, we've had these Gen Con press conferences, and it's pretty important we talk about it because there are a lot of big changes to the game. First thing we were going to talk about this week, though, is the 7th Dimension Store Championship that happened on Saturday. Our winner this week was... Brett Freeman. He was flying Miranda, Lorik, Fenn, your standard 100-point Miranda list. It's a very good list, even with all these Reapers out and the X-Wings, it is still dominating, doing a great job.
I'm kind of surprised he didn't get tripped up by a Reaper list
right, or something. And I think he said that he did fly against the Reapers, but I'm not 100% certain about that. But he went 4-0 in the day, and he did a tremendous job on it. I know Brett's a phenomenal player. He's made top cuts in system opens recently, and he's doing a great job. There isn't too much to say about the store championship, though. We're not going to go too deep into it, just because it was only 15 players, not to a top cut.
Were you there? Did you go?
I did go. I was flying my normal list of your Vermeil and the Inquisitor, which I'm slowly getting better with. I went 3-1 on the day, and I placed... Oh, nice. It was either top two or I'm sorry, it was either second or third. We had a weird situation where the top two players kind of went into a final salvo because they play each other all the time. Both players were 3-0, and they, when they see each other in the top table, it's kind of like, do we really want to play each other again, or do we want to just scrap this for the books and move on? So I know they did final salvo in the end. And I think some of the locals were a little annoyed at the fact, but speaking from experience, I've had situations where it's kind of like, I know the result of this. I know I've played you a ton of things. We know what the standings are. Would you be okay final salvoing? And like I said, from personal experience, I am 100% for that. Like, you know these people. What is the point of playing it if you're just going to split the prize support or anything like that? Have you guys experienced anything like this?
I mean, I've definitely gone into games against people I play a lot where I, like, based on the list, I have a pretty good idea of what the outcome's going to be. I've never had this situation of, like, a top table, though, mostly because I'm not usually at the top table. But, it's fine. It doesn't bother me. Like, I was one of those people who was fine with the intentional draw rule a million years ago when that was still a thing. So, it doesn't sound like they were edging anyone out of the tournament or something. Well, so in this circumstance, it's not a big deal.
Absolutely. I think that was the thing, that they saw the points and they knew that a 100-point loss or a 100-point win for both of them wasn't going to change the outcome of the standings. Like I said, I think it bounced me around a little bit from going from second to third, but I'm not really going to argue about that because...
I guess if one of them had tabled the other. It stinks a little bit, but...
Right, but at the same time, I can fully understand. They drove 2 hours to get there, and it was kind of like, you drive 2 hours just to play your practice partner that you practice every single day with. So
maybe they should stop both being so good.
Right. Beneficial for me, I actually did get a regional buy out of that, so I am happy.
Oh, that's cool.
Both of them had regional buys already, so they forwarded it on to me. Other than that, that is the 7th Dimension Store Championship. So congratulations to Brett Freeman. You did a good job running your list, and... Can't wait to get breakfast with our regional bias coming up.
Yeah.
So next news we have voting for Coruscant. We had the Rebel voting happen last week, and Leia Crew was voted in.
Which was the correct response.
Absolutely. So if you're not familiar,
I don't even remember what the other options were.
Way better than Lay Crew. But if you're not familiar, for the Coruscant Open, all attendees have to have this card in their squad to have a valid list. So every Rebel squad has to have the Leia crew in their list. So I've got a feeling we're not going to see very many Rebel lists coming up in Coruscant.
Yeah, Leia crew does not seem very good. Which is unfortunate because her card is an interesting idea.
And you think that like a big character like Leia would be a better...
Her card should be so much better. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm going off of memory, but it should be... It's something like spend 3 charges and everything can treat their red maneuvers as white maneuvers for that turn.
Yeah.
Reduce the difficulty.
Reduce of all your maneuvers by one.
So it is better. You can use it every, because the charge regenerates. It starts with charges and then the charge regenerates. So you can use it every fourth turn, I guess.
Yeah.
Or every third turn.
Regenerate the turn you use it. It'll regenerate.
Yeah. So I mean, it's better than it was, but it's still bad, I think.
Yeah.
It's fun to have. I think it's fun to force people to use it.
And if the average game is what, like 11 turns long, at least in first edition, so you can maybe use it 3 times.
Yeah, you'll use it. You'll use it 2 or 3 times probably.
I would think. Yeah, at most 2, because
you'll use it.
Yeah, if she's even surviving that first volley, like the first couple turns are going to be the engagement, so they might not even count.
Yeah, and we don't know what the list restrictions are, but if it's 2.0 wave 1 only, she's going on a U-wing.
Yep,
and that's it. Yep, that is your option.
Just turn that U-wing 90 degrees.
I mean, it has... Well, no, I take that. I was going to say something, but it's wrong.
Okay. Well, when we look at our Imperial options, voting is still open. You can vote at FFGOP's Twitter. Their options are Palpatine, Admiral Sloan, Fifth Brother, and Ruthless. And I believe right now Admiral Sloan is in the lead. But even still, Admiral Sloan's card is way better.
Sloan is the one when you lose a ship, the person who destroyed it gets a stress token or something like that.
It's two stresses.
Yeah, that card is interesting.
So she's 10 points, but you also get the while a friendly ship at range 0-3 performs an attack against a stress ship, you may reroll one attack dice. You're getting that too. So even if they're not getting stressed from that ship being destroyed, they're still getting that bonus. With linked actions, I think a lot more ships are going to be stressed.
Yeah, I would imagine.
And then, I mean, that double stress would be kind of crippling for like a Fenral or
You
know, Fen rolls up, destroys one of your TIE fighters, then you double stress them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and then that's...
Even with some of these like aces, because you figure they're shooting first, even if it's not Fen or one of the, like Luke or something like that, it's... Taking away those actions right off the bat might be pretty good. All right.
So, yeah, and then, I mean, Palpatine is Palpatine, and then...
Fifth Brother gives you
get the crits. I mean, that card is interesting, but it's not particularly fun. I think Sloan is probably the right... Sloan is certainly the most interesting choice.
It's interesting, but I think it's... I mean, if they're voting in Leia crew, it's kind of like, what's the least oppressive of all 4 of these? And it might be Sloan, but even still, they're all very good.
I think there must not be a wave restriction on Coruscant. Fifth Brother is in a gunner slot, and there's no... TIE Reaper doesn't have the gunner slot, right?
Yeah, there you go.
And then Tarkin has to be on a ship that has target lock, and the Reaper doesn't have a target lock.
No.
That's right.
Yeah, so
All right. Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah. So maybe Coruscant's just going to be a free for all. That'll be chaos.
No, I mean, I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be cool. It'll be fun to watch, but it'll be a hot mess for sure.
Especially because it's going to be the first big FFG event of second edition. So it'll be interesting to see what everyone's going to be flying and how they're going to involve these different crew members and upgrades. Yeah. All right. So what else came out this week? We got the points. Yeah, we got the point PDFs. So we don't have an app, but we do know what everything potentially costs. Everything could change, but at the same time, we have a general idea of what everything will cost, and we can start list building. So everyone's pretty excited about that. We're going to get some information when everyone starts getting their core sets at Gen Con, but we can start actually list building and plugging these things into the different formats like a tabletop simulator or Vassal and start testing things out. So we got these different point values that we can start experimenting on tabletop simulator, can start Vassal, Fly Casual, all these things. I have already basically implemented all the points and we can start testing things, getting ready for second edition and getting ready for your tournaments, having fun again.
Yeah.
So Marsha, do you want to take over some of these things of what you think about the points?
Yeah. So, I think one of the major things that people were worried about was how the force was going to be costed. And it seems like it's not necessarily a point by point cost, but it seems like access to the force costs a pilot around 10 points, which seems, I'm not going to do the math. I would not have the capability of doing the math, and I'm certainly not going to try to figure it out. But that seems appropriate for the kind of action economy, because and access to force powers, the force powers are also pretty expensive.
Yeah. Well, they're not that expensive. The force EPTs. Are you talking about or?
So, no, I'm trying to look them up right now.
The supernatural reflexes is 12 points.
I guess that's the only points one I'm really thinking about. Yeah, sense is 6. The Deadeye one is only 2, which seems correct.
And then the PS, the one that lets you go at PS 7.
Heightened perception.
I think that's only 6 points, or is that 4? Yeah,
it's 3 points.
I think that's definitely worth it.
I mean, I think sense and supernatural reflexes are really good, even at 6 and 12 points.
Right.
Yeah. The popular call seems to be Vader with supernatural reflexes and fire control system, and that ship is, and after. Afterburners monkey with it. If you have the 8 points for afterburners, so Vader, that Vader is 90 points, something like that. He's 93. So that seems pretty good. It's close to half your list, but Vader with those 3 force points, and basically having a pre-nerf Phantom D cloak for a little less than half your list seems okay.
Yeah,
and he can't be blocked.
Yeah, he can't block him. Oh yeah, because he can use his pilot ability off the supernatural reflexes action. So he's Kylo. He's basically Advanced Sensors Kylo.
Yeah,
which is great. In a game where arcs are suddenly going to matter again. That's going to be really good. So along those lines, I think, you know, Luke is appropriately costed. I think he's 8 or 10 points more than Wedge.
I think he's 62 versus 52.
Okay. But yeah, Wedge is 52. So, that sounds right. So my first instinct was, what can you fit into a list with Luke? So if you pack Luke up, And I think the really other stand. I'm designing a few lists, and I'm operating under the assumption that for most low level organized play, like local kit tournaments and maybe the first round of whatever the equivalent of store championships are going to be, it's just going to be what's legal for the wave. I'm hoping that's what it is, because otherwise it would be kind of crazy if everything were legal. So I'm just looking at, you know, the ships that are coming out in September.
Well, okay, let me message Lou right now and ask if the group championship is going to be wave one only.
Oh, that's a good question, yeah.
Because that is our first big tournament.
Yeah. I just assumed he would let a lot. I just assumed it'd be everything, but
I haven't heard anything about Kappa Cup, which is October, so that is also pretty soon. But anyway, while you're waiting for him to reply, so what I'm looking at is Luke and Nora in the Y-Wing, because a Y-Wing with reinforce at range one seems really good. This is not an original idea of mine. That's kind of been the meme that's going around, is that Nora is like the only good Y-Wing pilot.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking at is like Luke with proton torpedoes and supernatural reflexes and whatever, and then like Nora with dorsal turret and seismic charges. And you, once you have the two of them, you have room for like a generic X-Wing or maybe Garvin Dreyas, who I don't know if he's good or not, but you have room for like a low level named X-Wing. So that seems interesting to me.
Garvin, yeah, I mean, he's initiative four, right? So he'll spend his, no one's going to shoot him first. So he's going to attack, he's going to shoot, then he's going to pass his focus token. And I guess he could pass it for defense for one of the others.
Oh, he could, I think Nora's also a four, or maybe Nora's
the five.
Okay. Yeah. That doesn't work super well.
So Garvin and Dutch both at four works really well, or like Garvin would work really well with other I4s. Okay. Or people who are less, then he can pass it and that person can use it to attack.
Yeah, so after Luke and Nora, you have between 40 and 50 points. So there is something that fits in that slot. I don't know what it is yet. Maybe you drop Nora down to Dutch, and then you do Dutch and Garvin, and that could be interesting. But I definitely want to test out like Luke and a Y-Wing and something else. I think that'll be interesting.
Lorik, 52 points.
And then, you know, I'm looking at what to put with Vader, like Vader and Howl Runner and three Academy ties. That seems like it might be a thing.
I think we're going to get into the ties in a little bit.
Yeah, well, I do. Yeah, I think we should definitely touch on the TIE Swarm later.
Double defenders?
So that was just another thing that I thought. Until OP gives us an announcement on what the tournament format's actually going to be. I think double defenders will be a thing. It's Vessery and Ryad, and you give them both an EPT and you give them both fire control system. And you can kind of fill up their upgrade slots. And they come out to like high 90s each. So I think they don't get afterburners. We all thought that they were going to have a mod slot. They don't have a mod slot, so no afterburners.
So one of the things,
even still, I think they're going to just be disgusting.
Made me think of this, but when you say they're both like high 90s, this is one of the things that I've noticed while list building now, is that I'm like 10-15 points shy of a 200 point list, and I'm just like,
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, so it's like, that's not enough to fit another ship. Are people going to start taking like 10 point bids like at this point?
Yeah, maybe you just get Vader and you get, Or you get like Luke and Nora, and you just load them up and throw in like a Z95, and you have like 11 points left over. Or something.
Yeah.
Add an autopilot drone for escape craft, 12 points.
It just blows up turn two, turn three.
Yeah. Seems good. And then the only other thing I was really thinking about, you know, in the 5 or 6 days since the points dropped is Boba plus Fenn. I think that's interesting. That's another thing where you load Boba up all the way and then you have Fenn and then you have like too many points left over. So maybe that's not the correct answer. Maybe you put Fenn with a couple other Fang fighters or something, or you put Fenn with like a kitted out scum Falcon or something.
Would there be enough points in that Boba Fenn list for a Black Sun Soldier Z95 with squad leader, 31 points?
Yes, I believe so. In a world where you can take whatever ships you want. I think if you keep Boba pretty light, I'm pretty sure that fits. Because the Boba I was working with came out to under 100 points, I think. At 80.
You started at 80 and then you got him to and then just under 100.
You don't really have to put a lot on him.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed seeing Fenn only has two slots. He's got an EPT and a torpedo.
He has talent and torpedoes.
Yeah.
So maybe you put torpedoes on Fenn. I have no idea. Maybe you give him.
And it's funny because like in the article it says that you can put afterburners, or maybe it's just the threat level card that they have afterburners on, but you can't put afterburners on it in regular play, which made me sad. Because I was really wanted to test around with that, but looks like you can't. So one of the things that I was looking at was we got Asajj Ventress, who is the only scum pilot that has force ability. And I thought, why don't we double it up? Why don't we throw them all on her too? So now you're getting, she starts with two force tokens each, or to begin with, and then if you throw them all on her, she's regenerating two force tokens each turn. So that's giving you the option to...
Actually,
It can't work like that?
Because what it does, what Maul does and crew that have force points is they increase the force value of the ship that they're attached to.
So it doesn't...
It's not a separate pool of resources.
So the arrow that's on front of Maul that doesn't increase for him and for her?
I think he's still just regenerate. I think Marshall's right, just regenerates one.
So the reason the arrow is there is if you put him on a ship that doesn't have a force point. So it would regenerate if you put him on like...
Well, that makes me super sad. I thought I was sitting here breaking the game and...
It would be very cool, but this is all based on like my understanding of what the developers have said and what was in the quick start rule book. I may know, but that.
Right. So, okay. So even still, so let's say, all right. So if you still keep Maul on her, then you have three to start out with. Am I right there? So you have three to start out with, and then you get to regenerate one each time you take a damage. You take a stress if you take a damage, you get to regenerate one if you take a stress. Now, Asajj is one of the ships that does not really care about stress to begin with because her dial is basically the same and she can clear it like anything else. I was thinking about pairing her up with actual Lando in the Falcon with 000 and L3, and we could really throw any gunner on there with maybe the exception of Han. So we were getting the double stress from Asajj, and I wanted to put 000 on there to even dish out more stress. Very few mechanics in the game are giving stress out right now, so I figure, hey, why don't we take advantage of that title and try to dish out as much stress as possible? And if they're going to give me those calculate tokens or strip their green tokens, then I'm absolutely going to run with it. Damn, now I'm really sad about Maul.
Yeah, I mean, it's still, you do get three. You do get your max up to three.
And you do,
the way Asajj is going to be zooming around the board with those big three banks, she's not going to be, her ability is not going to be going off every round.
Yeah.
But,
I mean,
yeah, I think you'll have time to run away and recharge those and come
clear
back.
Clear any stress that you might. So it's almost like she's still, with the regenerating from Maul, you still get one at the end of the turn, so she might take a damage. That might be the last shot. You get the stress and the regen of the force token, and then you regen on the one at the end of the turn anyway.
Yeah, that's true. You're going to be regening him faster, yeah.
Yeah, so Maul's 13 points, but I think he's definitely worth it. The only two things in the scum right now that can take anything with a force.
They didn't... they didn't give Zuckuss a force point. People were talking about how Zuckuss is supposed to be force sensitive. And some people were theorizing that he was going to have a force point, but I'm looking at it now. And it's just Asajj.
Right. Yeah. So the other thing that I was looking at was IG-88B and IG-88C. So one, I was sad that you can't put three IG-88s on the board at the same time, coming in at 70 points. I started kidding these guys out, and I really, like, I ran into that thing where it was like, oh, man, I'm at, like, 170 points. And it just, like, I didn't know what to do with it. So I think if you put control bots still on the board with these two ships, you're still going to be very successful. If you don't put a system slot on them, you can fit a quad jumper. Like, just a generic quad jumper. I forget what the actual pilot's name is. But...
oh, like Jakku Gunrunner.
Yeah, it's like one of them. But you can absolutely fit that in there and even throw more control onto these guys. Now, they're not going to be doing like the crazy advanced sensors, boost, evade, target lock, and then clear it with a green maneuver because the way advanced sensors has changed. But they're still going to be very hard to hit with getting those evades and doing all the stuff around the map, like throwing the different ships around the map, especially because we can tractor beam and ionize like large and medium ships a little bit differently now.
Yeah. Is there room to put IG-88D crew on a quad jumper?
what did I have? I had something on the quad jumper.
Only 4 points, and the quad jumper has a crew slot.
What did I put on the quad
jumper? Would that do anything? What is the...
If you had A and B, right, then you could... then the quad jumper could generate calculate tokens for you, I guess.
What did I put on the quad jumper? I can't remember now. It might have been IG-88D.
Because just an A is calculate.
It does give you the calculate action, okay. And two calculates are better than one focus token.
Yeah, that might be the way to go then.
That is so silly.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you can fit it. Because at first I was like, all right, so we should put like FCS on here. And then I was like, no, because I don't... FCS is okay now, but I think...
So you just... So on the IGs, you just have Tidal and Tractor Beam?
You can fit the Tidal, Tractor Beam, and Ion Cannons.
And Ion Cannons.
Okay. Yeah. So you can get all that on there. And Juke. How did I forget about this? So you can boost... You can boost, evade, and then Juke with their EPT. And you can essentially get that modification out of it.
And so then you have a quad jumper that can get two focus tokens.
Exactly. So you can get the calculate tokens. So maybe...
All right, I'm sold. I'll try that.
Yeah, so I guess I would have to decide between IG-88D or... I'm sorry, IG-88B or IG-88A. I think you have to keep C in there to get that juke going off.
Yeah, you gotta...
You need B. B. You need B for the gunner effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the...
If you're taking two cannons, you gotta...
Yeah. So maybe we don't... I would have to look to see what we could put on this quad jumper mall. Set them all.
Set them all.
Right. Maybe I could put like Boba Fett on them and just throw them on the rock to begin with. Informant.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be good.
Definitely.
You can put the listening device condition on Fenrir.
No, you can't fit it. It's 201.
Oh.
Well, yeah, so we've got like 2 points.
Intel agent is appropriately double the price of what it used to be. Yeah, you got 4 points left. You got some options.
Yeah. We'll have to test that out.
Oh, you know, the quad jumper has a tech slot.
Still. Maybe stealth device. Is that a...
Yeah, there's still stealth.
Stealth.
That's a modification now. Not stealth device. I mean,
cloaking.
Cloaking. Right. So that comes in at 5 points again. We'll have to test it out. But I still think the juke on... Because juke's now medium base, which you couldn't take it before.
Yeah, you gotta have juke on those guys.
So I think you have to absolutely take C and then maybe B.
Yeah, I think B and C is still... Yeah.
So that's the two things I've been really thinking about. Going forward, Jonathan, do you want to talk about what you?
Well, I know previously, I forget if we talked about it before when we were talking about TIE fighters and the TIE swarm. And I really thought that like academies would be like 24 or 25 points, and that Howl Runner and Iden would both be like 41 or 42 points. So you couldn't fit Howl Runner, Iden, Versio, and five academies in a list. But it turns out with you could fit Howlrunner, Iden, five academies, and it's 195 points. So it leaves you five extra points to play around with. So that is, sounds pretty, sounds really good. You know, I think, Iden really improves Howlrunner's survivability, and it makes it a very dangerous list. My thoughts on that matter were, you know, back in the old TIE Swarm days, sometimes people would go to Obsidians to shoot. Originally, no, they didn't fly black. You didn't usually fly black squadrons unless it was to put draw their fire to protect Howlrunner. But people would often sometimes people would use Obsidians, and there would be that PS bidding down at PS 1, 2, 3, you know. So I was wondering, Inferno Squadron, those four pilots. So it's Iden, Delmico, Gideon, Hask, and Sane Marana all together cost 130 points. They're all initiative four. And you can add Howlrunner, and then you could add Wampa, and then all of them together are 200 points. So most of your ships would fire at initiative five or four, you know, before initiative one of all those of opposing academies and an opposing TIE swarm. And then you have Wampa, who's at one, who could still act as like a blocker or someone to get in the way or to put in front of your I-4s to prevent enemies from like jamming you up. Mm. So I think the consensus is that the Howl Iden 5 Academies is the best right now, but I wonder if there might be something in, you know, having a mixture of high and low initiatives. Like, you know, back in the day, people would fly four Obsidians, four Academies sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah, I think if blocking, hopefully, I mean, God willing, blocking becomes a thing again. But if it does, yeah, having one or two PS1s, I think is going to be clutch. I think it's going
to
be good.
And then being able to kill your opponent's Howlrunner, if you're TIE Swarm on TIE Swarm, you want to kill your opponent's Howlrunner before all their ships shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, like TIE Swarm might be useful.
What is the timing on Iden? Do you get to look at the incoming damage before you decide to cancel it?
I believe so.
Before friendly TIE, LN fighter at range 1, range 0 to 1 would suffer 1 or more damage. Yeah, it's before you suffer the damage. So, yeah, so if you know you're going to take it. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, good.
I know we were talking about this yesterday, but I'm excited to see TIE Swarms back on the table, but at the same time, I'm so not looking forward to flying against TIE Swarms.
Yeah, I'm really not looking forward to TIE Swarm meta. It is something, I mean, in my shame, I do not understand how they work, and I don't think I've ever played against one. I think I came into X-Wing right when they were going out of style.
Yeah, like I think a lot of people are going to want to throw them right on the table, and I don't think people are going to know that the amount of skill that they do take to fly. So hopefully maybe it just fizzles out, but I don't want to fly.
There's going to be a lot of bad TIE Swarms, and then there are going to be a few people who either figure it out quickly or remember how to do it from 4 years
ago. It's like running a bike.
Those people are going to be deeply unpleasant to play against.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I think there's still some good tools against the Tie Swarm.
Yeah.
I forget what I was going to say, but you clog if you like. I think like seismic charges, anything that does splash damage. I think being able to blow up debris and asteroids as you like, you clog up the middle, force them to come through, and then you surprise blow up asteroids. You can make them hesitate, So I think back in the day, Tie Swarms were dominant, but I don't know, like all the other ships are cheaper. If you compare, so the TIE Fighter was always better than the X-Wing, right?
Yeah.
But now, okay, so I don't know the math, but right now the TIE Fighter, the Academy is 23 points. Right? Yes. And the equivalent of the Rookie, what the Blue Squadron Escort is 41 points. So they're both a little bit cheaper than their first edition counterpart, but the Academy TIE Fighter is exactly the same, whereas the X-Wing is considerably better than its first edition counterpart.
Yeah, I was going to say that too, because they got that Talon roll now, and they have the, they can close the S-foils.
They just have the extra hull point.
Yeah.
Their dials.
And then they can barrel roll.
Their dials were better, yeah.
And then with the S-foils, they can boost. So they have a lot more. So, yeah. I wonder, like you mentioned your double defenders and your, it's just hard for TIE fighters to like punch through with only two attack dice to punch through that. And I don't know. We won't know until we see it hit the table.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm seeing a lot of lists gravitate around like two ship lists. And then I'm seeing a lot of these like 6-7 ship lists. I'm curious, which is there going to be a medium or is it just going to kind of switch back and forth if we're going to be stuck in a two ship game again, or if really we're going to be able to spread out more and seeing like 3, 4, 5, 6 ship lists come out of this.
Yeah, I think people's impulse to go like toward a lower ship count is probably a mistake. I think like it's that problem we've been having. When we're list building, we're having trouble like getting maximum points out of a two ship list.
Yeah.
Just because like personally, I don't think there are any EPTs that are any good. There are none of them that are attractive to me for most builds. I honestly think it's a thing of it's a new game and we have to think differently about how we're building lists. And I'm not there yet. I know people, if you listen to other podcasts, they definitely seem like they have ideas. I don't know if they're good ideas or not, but I think there's a consensus that's starting to form a little bit, but I'm not sure.
Jonathan, you've been in the game long enough. Do you think that we're going to start seeing more generics, like go back to that generic only wave where you're just going to see, let's bring as many ships on the table as we possibly can and how much firepower? Or do you think that we're in a state of the game that might even out to, let's say you can bring these named pilots and the points that they're worth?
Well, I think we don't have the hyper defensiveness in 2.0. We don't have the hyper defensiveness that some builds have in 1.0. Mm-hmm. So when like a lot of the point fortress type builds depend on your ability not to be hurt, to shrug off either regen, arc dodge, large ship boost, avoid taking damage, and we don't really have that now. And most expensive ships now, I think in 2.0, except for maybe defenders, all the other, most of the, like, if you get shots on them, they're going to take damage, right? So if you get shots on, and it's harder for a lot of things to arc dodge than before because of, the lack of push the limit, double repositioning. So someone like, say like, like if you get shots on them, they're going to take damage. So I don't know if point fortressing is going to work as well. So I think that's going to push more towards efficiency. So it's a long way of saying, I think they're striking a good balance. It seems like they're striking a decent balance there. You know, because like if you shoot, if you get shots on Vader, like he's going to take damage because he can't evade. You know, he doesn't have the evade action. If you get shots on Fen, he's going to take damage because he doesn't have auto thrusters, you know, and he can't double reposition. You know, so, and then the large ships, you know, can't very few, with the exception of the 1300, YT-1300, they can't boost. Yeah, so they're going to take hits and damage, and regen is really reduced. So, like, you shoot them, they're going to be hurt. You know, I think defenders might be an exception because you shoot them, they might not hurt them.
Yeah.
Because they can token stack.
Yeah, but even then, I think if you put three or four guns on a defender, you're going to get a couple points of damage through with Howl Runner.
Yeah, like if so, Vader, I think he'll be really good, but I don't know. Like you're flying against seven enemy ships, you can't dot. You're going to be caught in arcs. Most players are going to be caught in a bunch of arcs, and still, and he's going to take damage if they shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and yeah. So I think we'll see more generics, but I don't. Yeah, you know, I think like 3, 4, 5 ships are reasonable. Once you get, honestly, it's a lot harder to fly 7 ships than it is to fly 6 ships.
Yeah.
And a 6 is like, you can fly like a 6 TIE swarm is a lot easier to fly than 7. Once you get 7, it's just so much harder to like form up your position, you know, keep everyone within range 1. 6 is a lot easier.
Yeah. So with all these points out right now, and we have a general idea, what do you think the best ship or best pilot in the game currently is?
Vader.
You think?
Yeah, I think it might be Vader. Like, on his own, I think. He's...
Yeah, like, not talking support or anything like that, just... Who do we think that the actual...
Meta's going to go to? I am most worried about Vader. I think Iden Versio is a huge problem, but that's a higher list than one ship. I think Vader's ability in comparison to everything else is so much. It was good before, and now it's amazing.
I mean, like, Vader is really great. You can't block with supernatural reflexes. You can't block them. Yeah, you know, like you, it doesn't matter how many academy, unless you fling like all 5 academy pilots at them, you can't block them.
Yeah, you gotta really like box him, man.
Yeah, so you can't block him. He has action efficiency where most people don't. And even if he doesn't use his ability, I mean, he can use his ability, and then he could still spend a force point for that soft focus. So he has a lot of great action economy, and he doesn't need a support ship, you know, like,
right.
Whereas like a lot of other aces, they would like Fen would really benefit, I think, from having a support ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nearby. So
pass him, like an extra action or
to stuff. Pass him a target lock, get him, coordinate a target lock or a focus, or like Wedge could really use someone to coordinate a target or focus, or even Luke, like they could all like a U-Wing. Friendly U-Wing or Hawk or something nearby, but Vader doesn't need it, so.
I think Luke, you mentioned Luke, I think if, in a world where Iden Versio doesn't exist, I think Luke is also terrifying. But I think shutting, Iden Versio's ability to shut down one of those proton torpedoes is pretty crazy.
I think, Biggs is back. I mean, no one's really kind of mentioned him, but I'm a little terrified to see Biggs. Yeah.
I like him.
So he draws a hit or crit off, right?
Yes.
Friendly ship at range. I'm sorry, go ahead.
As long as you're in their arc.
Isn't that identical to Selfless?
Yes. Is it the actual?
It's almost no. It's kind of a. It's closer to draw their fire, I think.
I mean, 2.0 selfless.
Selfless.
Oh yes, it is. It is very similar to 2.0 selfless. Yeah.
Selfless reads. If you
they're very.
Yeah, it is exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
Selfless is just crits. Biggs is hits and crits.
Right.
Okay. But, but you're right.
Very good.
It's exactly the same.
It's almost kind of like you want to shoot Biggs first, even without that 1.0 ability, just to get him off the table. But I think you're going to be leaving a lot of other stuff open.
Yeah.
All right. So, that is the point segment. Let's so tonight was Gen Con, FFG's big press release of telling us that we now have 7 different factions. We have
we're getting Republic and Separatists from the Clone Wars.
I mean, I'm pretty excited about that. I've been talking about that since I got into the game. And I was like, oh yeah, why don't we have these factions in the game? And everyone's like, oh well, this game takes place afterwards, and it's kind of like. I just want more content. Like, I don't really care that if you have hard feelings against those movies, or if you don't like that. I just want as much content for the game as we can possibly get.
Yeah.
oh yeah, definitely.
Yes, I am excited. Yeah, I have some logistical concerns about like what it's going to do to my wallet and whether or not it's. I think it's adding. Too much stuff to the game because the release schedule that they seemed to allude to during the presentation was that these factions were going to be out early next year. So it's just so much stuff. Like I was overwhelmed by the points value release. Like that was a lot of information. And I feel like the game is getting a lot of content. I mean, which is to be expected. But if we're having Resistance and FO come out by the end of the year, and then 3 months later, we have 2 whole new factions, and they're each going to get like 4 ships, and it's going to be wild.
It's a ton of content, I think. It's a lot to take in because it's like they basically changed this entire game around. As far as the actual like construction of it goes, like we went from having 3 factions to having 7 within 6 months, basically. It makes me almost think that sticking to this 1 faction or 2 factions might be in a lot of people's best interest.
Yeah, I got to think about it. I might not. I may stop buying everything. I don't know.
Right. Well, all right. So let's talk first.
Jonathan, you're a buy everything guy, right? You buy everything?
I do buy. Yeah, I do buy some of everything. But I mean, when I first, like, I don't buy. I know some people who I used to, like, I would say, okay, I could fit X number of ships in a list. I'm going to buy X number. I'm going to buy like 4 Wookiees, and I think I own 2.
Oh, yeah.
But. Okay. But like back in wave like 4 or 5, like I just buy enough to fill out. But I mean, I'm excited to see new factions come out, but I don't know if I'm going to buy everything now. Or I don't know. We'll see. I'm just kidding. I probably will buy everything. But I think like in a way, having more factions lets you. All right. So it's like splitting the Resistance off from the. Like splitting the First Order from the Empire and the Resistance from the Rebellion, I think was good because, like, you don't get like those weird like, what role does would a E-wing have in a faction that also has a T-70, or like what role does like a TIE bomber have if you release a TIE FO bomber, you know? Mm-hmm. So it lets you sort of like differentiate and like make the factions. Yeah, then you make ships more unique, if that makes sense.
No,
there's less. Yeah. like each ship can have its own identity and there's not like overlap. Like the Empire was having like, yeah, there's so much overlap in like the different types of like the special forces when they first announced it and versus like a defender, you know, like they both sort of take a similar role, although they fly very differently.
Yeah. But,
or like, you know, another three attack, two, you know, three defense or whatever. Like, I'm rambling, sorry. But I think, I think it's
all good points. Yeah.
No, yeah, it's good to see that we're going to have like different faction identities and along those lines.
I mean, one thing I don't know a lot about the prequels, but are there actually like, can they come out with 10 or 15 like Republic or Separatist ships over like the next couple of years? Are there enough?
So Clone Wars introduced a lot of stuff. Because that was, I don't know, 100 episodes or whatever of television. So,
and we're getting another 10 or so episodes coming soon?
And yeah, they're doing one final season. So you can definitely get one or two ships for each kind of role, like ship role in a faction. So you can get one main fighter, you can get an interceptor, you can get a bomber, probably get like a beefy your fighter, like a B-wing equivalent. So you can definitely map those things on for each faction. I think the bigger ships might get a little hinky. I think they might have to, you know, go down some weird avenues to get medium and large base ships, especially large base ships. Two that they mentioned in the presentation were the Jedi Interceptor, which is the thing that Jango Fett chases Obi-Wan around in the asteroid field in Attack of the Clones. Oh, and Fire Spray. Separatists will probably have a Fire Spray. Republic will have the ARC 170. So there is stuff that exists.
I'm curious if we're going to see like a lot of like cross faction ships now. Like,
I would think so.
Yeah. So like the pilots might be this different, but yeah. And you know who I'm excited to see that we hopefully will get is Yoda.
Yeah, Yoda flies one of those little Jedi interceptors around the Clone Wars. We should be getting a Yoda pilot.
It's about time.
Yeah. Obi-Wan, Ahsoka.
Yeah,
we'll get Ahsoka. Anakin. We should get Ahsoka in an interceptor. We'll get Anakin. We'll get Obi-Wan.
So
finally get him in the game. Jeez.
Well, I guess if Anakin would be in this faction, I guess there wouldn't be any overlap with seeing Vader. I was thinking, like, could you have Anakin and Vader in the same list? But I guess they wouldn't actually be in the same faction together at any point.
Yeah, he would be over
Empire,
I guess. Yeah. By the time he became Vader, he would be Empire. But it opens up a lot of cool stuff that they can do. I'm just worried about it all happening at the same time.
Right. It's a lot that's happening real fast. So we know that Wave 3 is supposed to be out like mid to late January or February. So it's kind of like we're getting like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, right off the bat. Like, 2.0 here in your face. And I'm almost curious how this, like, when all this dust settles, what is the game going to look like? It's really going to make you think. It's so much right now that it's like, are we going to be like so overwhelmed with this content? And then as soon as it's over, we're going to be like, well, you gave us all this and now we have nothing. We're going to be like itching for more, but I don't know if that's going to be the case. We might have an eighth faction by then. They'll split scum and villainy between the two.
Yeah.
but even still, like I said.
I guess scum is just going to stay scum.
Scum. So maybe they will give us like a Mandalorian faction or something. I don't know.
That'd be kind of cool.
I'm just, like I said, I'm just hoping that like after all this dust settles, that it's just not going to be like a big drought and leaving us for more.
I think the next year is, I think, because they've said that they're going to keep releasing. They're going to try to get all the existing ships into new packaging with new cards and new expansions and stuff. So it'll be, right, that'll take a while.
It looks,
there'll be stuff coming out.
The release schedule for this, so if this does come out like February, that's leading right into the regional season, the first regional season of second edition. Yeah, starting March, so I think everything's going to be ready to go for then, which I guess that'll keep us entertained. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we talked about the two new factions coming out. We also have the A-Wing, the Resistance A-Wing that is new, and the Mining Tie for Scum.
Oh, yeah, this is all Wave 2 stuff, I guess. We're getting the conversion kits for Resistance in First Order.
Yeah, so I believe this is supposed to be out sometime November or December.
That's
if it's following Wave 2 release schedule. So we don't know much information. I'm sure we'll get an article tomorrow and then have more to talk about next week. But we do know that we are getting the Mining Tie, which I know, Marshall, you're saying, did Scum really need this? But yes, we did. Every faction needs a tie.
They got the Z95. They got the Seek. They got, like, come on. Like, do they need another little ship that doesn't do anything?
it sort of erodes. Like, why? Yeah, why does? Yeah, I agree in a way. Like, it erodes the niche of different ships. I don't know, like, where there's a lot of overlap there, like of that, like low mid twenties filler ship.
Yeah.
And I think Scum would have been fine if they didn't have the Z95, actually, or if the Z95 is only, the Houndstooth thing?
Yeah, the Nashta Pup.
Oh, Nashta Pup, I mean. And then you could put Kato Lichos and Nidru in, like, a different ship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then have the Seek take that role, you know, and then, yeah.
I mean, so...
But the model looks really nice.
Yeah, the model looks great.
It looks cool for sure, yeah.
So they're splitting all these factions. I mean, now Scum, like, almost seems like it's the powerhouse of the game. It's because it didn't split anything.
Yeah, they definitely have the most ships.
Yeah,
and I think that will always be the case.
Yeah, I can't see how they would split this at all. But it makes me think that maybe Scum will take the back seat in the next couple waves and then really pump up the other six factions.
Yeah, well, we got a Resistance cartoon coming out, so that'll be Resistance and First Order, and then Episode 9 is coming out next year, so we'll have Episode 9 stuff.
And then if we get those extra 10 episodes of the Clone Wars, we'll
get a little more Clone Wars. Yeah, so I think, you know, Scum has, there's plenty of Scum stuff in Clone Wars to draw into. There's Cad Bane, there's
Captain
Haldo, no, whatever that guy's name is.
I don't think I've actually ever finished the Clone Wars.
There's a bunch of bounty hunters in Clone Wars. Okay. So there are new characters that they can draw on. So if they need to dip in and give us a couple new pilots to keep Scum alive, they'll be able to. But I think Scum, there's just so much to draw on, and they have a huge head start, which is fine. They get a little duplication, like with the Z95 and the Seek and now a new TIE fighter, but it's all good.
So look at this one note. It says, our Republic name pilots mostly going to be Jedi. So that might be interesting to see that these might be, like, very expensive.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to be, like, a Force-centric faction. Like, all the named pilots are Jedi, more or less. And then, you know, it's clones or whatever as the generic pilots. I think that would be interesting if they leaned really hard into the Force for an entire faction.
That would be really interesting. That could just be the
it stands to reason that the Separatist faction would be mostly droids. So I think that would be kind of cool, like playing around with the calculate action.
Yeah,
seeing what that can do. It opens up a lot of new design avenues, which is ultimately what we want.
I guess something we had just talked about briefly before we started recording. Do you think that the cheapest like droid ships for the Separatist faction might be cheaper than a TIE fighter?
I mean, based on their performance in the movies, they are basically just swarms of little robots that get that serve no purpose other than to be blown up. So. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they'll. I think it would be interesting for them to create a ship that is somehow crappier than a TIE fighter.
Just in Armada, they have those. I don't know anything about Armada, but they have like ships that are. It's not one ship, but it's like a group of ships.
Right. Oh.
You know, imagine like a like instead of being. It's not one ship, but it's like three or four ships on like a model of like three or four ships that moves around on a, on a small, medium, like on a large base.
Yeah.
It could be like five little droid fighters like flying on a, large base.
That actually sounds really cool.
FFG, hire us as designers.
I would be super impressed if they did something like that.
It'd be cool, like, too, if like,
that would be awesome.
Like, let's say you take one hull, it loses one, attack. Like, let's say it's like four hull, four attack, and then like every hull that you lose, it loses one attack.
Yeah, that'd be super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm down for that.
All right, so here's the big important question. Is Jar Jar Binks going to appear in X-Wing? I hope not.
I don't know if we ever see him on a ship.
Yeah, but...
No, that's not true. He rides around. And the Phantom Menace, he gets on.
Yeah, he might not be a pilot, but he could definitely be a crew.
He could be a crew. We might see him as a...
The new meme of 2.0, Jar Jar Binks crew.
If they do put him in the game, they should make him really good. So we have to, take him.
Oh, that'd be great.
I mean, there are so many... It's the Clone Wars is the biggest kind of pool of content, I guess.
Yeah,
the biggest pool of canon content, yeah.
Yeah, if they're not drawing from like Galactic Civil War era EU anymore. I am super excited. I think it's gonna be really cool. And I think it's gonna be
I'm excited, but I'm scared at the same time. It's like, what do I do?
Great for the game.
Yeah.
I want Jar Jar and I want Obi-Wan. I want Obi-Wan.
That's the thing. Like, Obi-Wan, I want Yoda. Like, I want to see some of these guys.
Yeah.
Could they come into the game as cross-faction crew? I don't know. Like, could you have a crew card for the Republic that crosses over to Rebels? And
yeah, maybe.
Yeah, like, something like... Not. Yeah, with, like with BT-1 and 000, how they need Vader, like, maybe something with Yoda could be, like, you need Luke in your squad to take Yoda crew or something like that.
R2-D2 and C-3PO are around. They should be there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. And he's R2-D2 is Anakin's astromech in the Clone Wars. Like, he should totally be.
Oh. Could be an R2 for the first, for Resistance, also R2 and C-3PO.
They
could just, you know, reprint them, kind of like how they do with Han.
Well, does it say? Yeah, it does say Rebel only.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll reprint them and give them a different ability or something.
Right. So we know that the conversion kits for the First Order and the Resistance are $30, which is not bad. I mean, the other ones are $50. It's a lot cheaper than the Super Star Destroyer from Armada. $200 for that guy. So it's not terrible if you're looking to just play First Order or if like you are hurting.
I think what cracks me up about the Super Star Destroyer is that the quality of the models in Armada is not great.
Yeah.
They're definitely not as high quality as X-Wing models. So for $200, I really hope they kind of pulled the stops out of that thing. Because if it's up to the level of the other Armada, like especially the paint jobs, it's not going to be super impressive.
Yeah.
But hopefully it's cool. I mean, it'll be a cool thing to look at, if nothing else.
So, any other things that we want to talk about with the new factions or the two conversion kits coming out in Wave 2?
I mean, like if you squint at those pictures in the convert in the some of those photos, you can glean some info. But I guess we'll know more of all that stuff when they actually release articles. But you can sort of make guesses at pilot abilities and stuff,
yeah,
and so initiatives. I don't know if we want to talk about that or not.
I mean, yeah, we can talk about what did you see that kind of caught your eye?
Well, you can see you can just sort of make out posability just barely. I don't have it in front of me, but you can sort of make out.
That was kind of the only one that I picked up on. It's basically after posability seems to read after you perform an action, you may spend a charge to perform another action on your action bar. You treat this action as red.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically has pushed the limit, but it's limited to charges. So we don't know. I mean, we don't know how many charges he has, so we don't know how many times a game he can push the limit, basically. But that seems to be what his ability is.
I'm sure we're going to get an article probably within the next 2 days.
Yeah, hopefully.
I feel like it would have to regenerate because the ability is worse than Vader's ability, right? So,
yeah.
And if it didn't regenerate, then it would.
Yeah.
If it didn't regain charges, then it would be much worse.
Yeah. Maybe you just get it every turn and it's your choice whether or not you want to stress yourself.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Or maybe like
regenerate
charges or something.
Yeah. He's initiative 6. He's pro damage.
Yeah, I'm curious if they'll have like something like a upgrade that makes him we'll probably find out tomorrow. Honestly.
it's
definitely fun to speculate, but I think I would imagine he has to. It is cool that he is getting a weapon hardpoint though.
The T-70 built-in ability.
What was that trip ability?
You can equip one cannon, torpedo, or missile upgrade.
Cannon, torpedo, or missile. Okay.
And if that's going to be on all the T-70s, that might be fun to
play. Yeah, that's the trip ability. It's pretty cool.
Control.
And the cannons are cheaper. An HLC is 4 points.
Yeah.
So although it's bullseye only, 4 points is pretty cheap. The other
Ion's 5, I believe.
Yeah. Jamming beam is 2, tractor is 3. So three, I mean there are times it'd just be very tractor beam someone onto a rock or into a I think that would be really nice. It's much more affordable, and it makes it one of the problems in first edition, with the exception, I guess, of IGs, you usually wouldn't put cannons on a 3 attack die ship. Mm-hmm. So B-wings, defenders, just because that extra cost. I mean, sometimes people would put HLCs on B-wings, but it's just a lot of points to pay there. And would make you hesitate. And with the cheaper cost of cannons, I think you're much more likely to put a cannon on a 3 attack die ship than before.
I just looked at jamming beam, and I'm really just kind of shocked that they did not change the thing at all. That it doesn't do any damage or just inflicts 2 jam tokens that get removed at the end of the round. It's kind of like, when would you ever use that over a actual attack?
Does it need? I mean, it has. It still has to hit, right?
Yeah, it still has to
hit. It has to hit.
It's a 3 dice attack range 1 to 2, and inflicts jam tokens instead of damage. So you could essentially put more jam tokens on it, but I don't think there would ever be a case that maybe if I'm target locked and I know a torpedo is coming in, maybe I'll throw a jam beam on there. But
if you really hate people flying Moldy Crow.
Yeah,
stacking up those focus tokens.
I'm just taking old Turok then. So,
ooh. It doesn't even do 1 damage for the first.
I could see.
I don't think it ever did it.
No,
I mean, like,
I always thought it should have been like an action kind of like Seismic Torpedo was, but
That would have been cool. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be if they had a seismic cannon would be
yeah
neat.
Yeah. All right, so I think that's about it. I'm sure we're going to get a lot of articles in the next week or so talking about all this fun content. So closing out, I want to do a quick shout out to Coach over at OCX Radio. I want to thank you for giving us a little spotlight on your show. It was definitely appreciated. We got a little bit of traffic coming from you guys. So again, thank you. Hey. I sent you over a shirt.
Thanks.
Hope you enjoy it. Any of you guys have any shout outs you want to do?
Everyone come to the Gameskeep Store Championship on August 9th.
18th. Is it 18th?
No, August. August 18th?
Yeah.
Practice, get ready.
Oh, are you saying?
Oh, and if you don't go there, go to East Coast Gamers, which is also the same day.
Okay.
They're both on the 18th.
Come to Gameskeep, try to knock me off my throne. I will be there defending my championship from last year.
What are you flying?
I have no idea. probably Decimator Vader, but we will see. We will see.
So if you get tabled, does your opponent get templates?
I will buy them lunch or something.
Oh. I was ready for you to say I'll buy them templates.
I will go to Wawa and get you a sandwich.
There we go. That's the Liberty Squadron bounty that you have to table, Marshall. If you table Marshall, get a photo of him looking really sad with a 100-0 slip, and then post it to the SJPA X-Wing group on Facebook. He will buy you a sandwich.
That seems fair. I'll do that.
All right. All right, guys, I want to thank you, everyone, for listening this week. We'll probably be back next week with a lot more content. All right, guys, I think that does it about this week's episode. And have a nice night.
Yeah, take care,
everyone. Bye.